y'all. Lot of bills, y'all. New year trying to touch me a mil, y'all. Came up now, I'm a stuck now. When you shine, all these haters wanna talk down. I don't feel away by what people say. It's alright, love, I let a hater hate. Pull up on them, see the paper plate. See the oyster perpetual band-aid. It's a sack, right? How they act right? How they smile in your face, then they backbite. I just laugh, right? Make them mad like. Watch them turn around and say, ain't that nice? Getting bread, though, man. Seems like they don't love you till you dead, yo. Let them talk, dog. It don't faze me. They might not be right if they don't hate me. Hustle too hard, sandpaper. It's alright. Y'all haters, it's nothing. We major. You see me. High hater, high hater, high hater. You see me. High hater, high hater, high hater. You see me. High hater.
Well, welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Advice Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, as always, Philip, and we have Miss Gabrielle on the line as well.
Hey, everyone. I'm excited about this show tonight.
Yes, we are. We're going to talk about haters today. Haters, 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 haters. How to deal with haters. I mean, they got all kind of haters in your life. I mean, whether it's a job, shoot, haters in your family, shoot, haters online. It don't matter. Hate all over the place, and that's what we're going to talk about. We want to share the experience of hating tonight. I want to know how people's hating on you and what you did to handle it. Did you even come to blows with somebody to do to somebody just hating you? You couldn't take it no more. I want to know. You knew you went to jail behind knocking somebody out. I want to know. But anyway, let's go ahead and get started with the show. So, Miss Gabriella, what is your opinion on haters? Ms. Gabrielle, you still on the line?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It was on mute. But my opinion on haters is that they're confused fans. And what trips me out about haters is that those are the same people that will sit there and say, like, that they can't stand you are the same ones that are always looking at your videos, always looking at your website, always looking at your fan page, but you just can't get, like, you can't. Like, they won't stop trying to be involved with you, and that's just online. In real life, they're even worse, and that's a whole other story. But
well, do tell. What's the story?
The story with haters on offline is more of, it has to do with, usually it's a lot of, it has to do with, like, family members and so-called friends.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this question. What, okay, what's the, like, experience of family? Because we're going to start on family first. We're going to break this down into many different categories of hate tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Family. What's your experience about family hating on you? Then I go into what my experience with it. Shoot.
My experience with family members that will hate on you is that they will try to, especially in black families, they'll try to pull that route, like, oh, that's not Christian enough, or you shouldn't be doing that, or they'll try to get you on some type of guilt trip thing, and half the time they have no idea what you're doing, but they will try to spin things around and flip it and make you seem like you are, especially if you're a female, they'll try to flip it and make it seem like you're out there sleeping with every man in town or something like that, even though you might be a girl who is over here hitting the books trying to make something of herself, but a lot of the times, well, in my experience, you'll have people who are in the older generation who will try to bring you down because, you know, they want to have that, like, they didn't have that chance to shine, and so they want to prevent you from being able to live your full potential. And one of the best ways to keep someone down is by constantly attacking their self-esteem. And if you're out there always trying to tell someone that they're not good enough or you try to make someone feel bad about themselves, that is the number one way to keep them down. And that's what a lot of family members do. And that's the sad part about it is that a lot of the times family members will be the ones that hurt you the most.
Now, I'm going to add something to that. Don't you hate when people try to use God to their advantage? Like every time they're trying to criticize somebody, well, you know, the Lord said, don't do this, that, and the third. But you were lying the other day. Well, the Lord said, don't be doing this. But yeah, you got 3-4 kids out of wedlock. You trying to talk about somebody. Who are you? Or you was up there gun busting about 5 years ago. Now all of a sudden you got saved and now you're trying to tell somebody off. I hate when that happens. Then they tell you all this stuff and say, well, what happened to Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus said, judge not or you be judged in the same manner you judge. He will judge you also. What happened to that scripture? You forgot about that one? Or they don't want to hear that. We can throw that scripture back at them. Well, don't judge me, but you judge me. You know, it's like it's stupid how some people try to use God to their advantage. They pull all the scriptures out they don't want to hear, but they want to pull scriptures out at you and they want to try to use God to strong arm you and to make you do something they want you to do. And black folks a lot of times got that bad. You know, you can go from, you know, being, you know, twerk team on every dude in the club, but Sunday morning you raising your hands talking about praise the Lord and you saved and everything. That's crazy to me. Now, let me tell you something about family on my end. See, you know, you grew up in, at least me, you know, like I said, I grew up in the hood. I grew up hard. It was not easy for me to do. Now, any brother or sister that come from the hood and they make it, they finally do something with themselves. They're doing good in their career. They're doing good in their business or whatever. I mean, nobody gave them nothing. You know good and well, as a black person, black man or black woman, the way it is, you got to fight 10 times harder to get to where you're at due to stereotypes, you know, of you, due to some of your predecessors messing it up for you as well. But most people don't talk about that, how some black folks mess us up when we're trying to do something. But you out of all that sort of thing, you finally make it. You're doing good. Then here comes some family member. Hey, man, what's up? You know, I ain't seen you in a while. You ain't talked to this cat in about a year and a half, 2 years or whatever. And you're like, yeah, I'm all right. How you doing? Man, you know, I'm having some hard times, man. You know, can I borrow a little money? You know, I got these bills and this and that and the third. And we're like, you're looking at them like, man, come on, dog. Like, you ain't seen me in a year and a half, 2 years. Then when you finally see me, you go ask me for some money? Like for real, dude? Then you tell a man, I really don't got the money like that. I got to do this. I got to do that. See, that's wrong, man. You don't want to help your family out. You know, you got a little money. You think it is. You moved away. You did this. And then the third, like, dog, man. It's like, why you got to come up with all that? You know, why you saying I'm better than somebody? I ain't better than nobody. I'm the same cat I was before. I say I learned a lot since then. But I'm the same cat. They want to come up and try to guilt trip you to give them some money. I was like, what about when I was struggling? Where were you to give me some money? When I was having ramen noodles, when I didn't have no furniture in my house, when I was sitting up there, you know, paying for a rental car all the time because I lost my car due to court litigation, where were you at then? You get what I'm saying? Behind stuff that wasn't even my fault. You know, were you there to say, you know what, I'm going to take my cousin out or whatever and his kids, you know, let them have a good time? Did you do that? No. I had to sometimes eat ramen noodles for 2 weeks just so I could have my kids to have a good, you know, time when they with me on the weekend I had them. So don't come up to me telling me no junk when you knew good and well I ain't have furniture in my house for 6 months when I sat there and laid on the ab mattress for 6 months, big old grown man like myself that had everything, lost it all, had to start back off on the ab mattress in a one-bedroom apartment. Then you gonna come tell me, sir, man, that's why I can't stand folks like that in the family, man. They don't care. They're selfish. And all they want is what they can get, some of them. And those of you who've been through that, you know what I'm talking about. And it's worse than your own mama start acting like that. Or your maybe father or sister or whatever. It's worse. I mean, now, do you know anything about that, Ms. Gabriella?
I think everybody who is that one successful person in their family has that experience. I even had the same conversation with a friend today. And he's the only one in his family that's doing well. And so it's just the same story. It's always like, it's like the same thing every single time. Like, everybody's like, well, when you get, like, as soon as you get money, like, people that you barely talk to, they come out of the woodworks, they start asking you for money. They're always trying to guilt trip you. They're always, and then if it's not trying to guilt trip you, they're trying to, like, they're going and backbiting and gossiping and trying to start stuff with you. I've even had situations where there's been people trying to split up people's marriages and try to split up families and trying to turn family members against each other just because they saw that someone was successful and they wanted to do whatever they could to ruin it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I got you mentioned it about some marriages. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saying I've seen this a whole lot with dudes because dudes really don't get down like that normally. But, man, I've seen this a lot with women, like family members or just women in general. Like, they'll see, you know, their sister or their cousin or whatever get a good dude, like, even about to marry the dude. And this chick is, like, just hating on her relationship so bad. I mean, hating every chance she get. She even tried to throw salt up in their relationship trying to say, oh, well, you know, and I'm looking out for you, but, you know, she was at the club the other day, hooked up with this dude or this and that and the third, or even some of the same females are trying to even sleep with the dude. You get what I'm saying? Just because she don't want to see her sister or her cousin, whatever, happy. You know, why females be pulling that?
The reason why a lot of females do things like that is because they're jealous and they know that they can't have the same thing. There's a lot of them. The ones that are always trying to cause the most problems are the ones that don't have much going for themselves. They are, you know, they let themselves go. They're not attractive anymore. They got a whole bunch of kids. And at that point, they're damaged goods and nobody really wants them. And so the only option they have is, okay, they see that their sister or their cousin or whatever has a good man. And so what they try to do is say, okay, well, that's the only chance I got. Let me jump on him and see if I can get him.
Yeah, that's being a sucker, man. But anyway, we got a call coming in. I'm going to just call, come in and see what question they have. Last four digits, 0856. You on the show, you got a question or comment? Oh, well, they got off. Anyway, I guess they'll call back. That's being a sucker right there. Like, how can you sit there and try to mess up somebody's stuff, man? It's like, I'm happy when I hear people, like, have something or somebody, like, tell me, man, I just got this or, man, I just met a, you know, a chick or a dude to, you know, female say, I met a good man or this. I'm like, I'm happy for you, man. I want you to do good. Shoot, why you want a bunch of people walk around with a chip on their shoulder? You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In life, you know, just because you not happy. And a lot of these females don't understand, too, the ones that's having all these kids, they don't understand and they become man repellent, too. And that's a lot of the reason why they don't have a man. And, like, in these, some of these females that got all these kids, okay, they are the most, some of them are the most arrogant females I ever met. Say, like, hold on, female, you got about four kids from four different dudes, and you trying to put all these stuff on this particular guy when he actually got to take you and your kids and deal with all five of y'all. Like, you should be treating that dude like good. Don't be coming around here demanding he do this, demanding he do that, and demanding he, you know, like, take some sort of role in your kid's life and all this other stuff. I mean, it's like, what? That's something else I don't understand. It's like, you need to walk a little bit more humility, female, and you wonder why you're by yourself. You know, and then hence goes back to what we're talking about. You see somebody that don't have, you know, no kids, don't have no issue, met a guy, they're doing great in their life, they got their education, they're just doing good. And she's trying to mess that up because, you know, good well, she ain't going to get no man like that. You know, with a hating self. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, it's foul when you say your own family members pull that joke on you. It's foul. You know, it's messed up when a friend probably pulled it, you know, as I guess as a woman, you know. But to have, let's say, your own sister try to pull that on you or, you know, your cousin or whatever. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a female family member try to, you know, pull something with you like that with some dude you're dealing with?
Well, number one, I'm very secretive in my dating life. One of my strategies to even avoid any type of family drama is to establish a really strong relationship first and then bring the person in when you guys are actually about to get engaged or you have wedding plans and stuff like that. That's when you bring, you know, your boyfriend around or whatever. I never have had a family member try to destroy my relationships because I'm very careful.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Don't be bringing, you know, people around your family. This is something extremely serious. I definitely agree with that. But anyway, it seems like this call is coming back in, so let's see if we can answer this call here. Area code 469, you got a question or a comment?
Hey, bro. Hey, this is Human Paradise, man. I just tuned in. What's the subject today?
About haters. You got a comment?
Oh, no, I'm listening. I may chime in later, but I'm just listening.
Okay, brother. As I go ahead on and mute you back out, just let me know in the chat if you want to be brought back in.
Okay, no problem.
All righty. So anyway, Ms. Gabriella, it's like this. Most people don't realize that not everybody needs to meet your family anyway. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Nobody needs to meet your family. Like, I can honestly say my son has only seen me with two women, and that's it, his mother and my wife. I will never show my son, you know, no other woman I've ever dealt with. For what? You're not going to meet my son. My son is precious to me. And I know some women would get, well, why can't I meet your son? They say, because we're just not at that level yet. And I'm going to respect my son enough, not let my son see me with a bunch of doggone different women till I figure out which one is the best one for me in my quest to find, you know, a decent woman. Because you don't want your child to be like, well, Dad, what happened to her? And Dad, what happened to her? You know what I'm saying? And then that causes more problems for you, too, with your baby mama, because she was like, why are you bringing all these females around, you know, our child? And, you know, you need to keep your hoes where they at. Now, you know what I'm saying? You just eliminate, like, so much stuff when you don't be bringing these females around, you know, your children like that. So that's a good thing that you do that, you know, because like, I did the same thing. My family really ain't met nobody but, you know, my baby mama and my wife now. Because it's just, I ain't got respect for my fam like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always tell women that too. If a man never show you his family, you may be a hoe. Just maybe.
But even it comes to friends too. Because if a man, I mean, I don't introduce anybody that I'm dating to any of my close friends either. Because I don't want to have people come and go out of my life like that. And I've seen a lot of the times when in the past I've had mutual friends that, you know, like one of my friends was dating a guy and then it wasn't really a serious relationship and then they just keep bringing people in and then you end up, you know, starting to develop a relationship with that person, like on a friend level, but then you can't talk to them anymore because that person is no longer involved with them. And that just creates a lot of problems. So,
yeah, now, the losing a friend, I'm going to say it's worse when you actually like have a marriage to someone and it don't work out because you develop friends with a lot of people. And a lot of times people don't know how to feel about that is because they don't thinking, well, you know, if I side with him, you know, even though they may be agreeing with you or side with her, or they feel indifferent, or they feel like I don't know how to respond now because it's like I don't want to seem like I'm offending her or offending him. You know, and I've lost, like I said, a lot of friends, you know, dealing, you know, with something like that. You know, and it sucks when you lose, you know, decent people. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, you even have to correct lies that was even told about you because, you know, a lot of times these females, you know, they no matter what they do, they're never wrong at all. You know, you're the bad guy. You know, no matter what. And so you got to go on this PR campaign defending yourself, literally, against, and you lose, like I say, you lose friends. I've lost friends over lies. People that I've never did anything to. But I always said, too, if somebody was really your true friend, they would want to know what's up with you and know, say, wait a minute, something ain't right about this. That's what, you know, what's being said. Because, like, the lie my baby mom was saying, oh, he just left me. And this and that and the third said, no, but why don't you tell everybody you cheated on me too? Why you didn't tell that story? You didn't tell that. You want to make me seem like the bad guy? Why would I stay with a chick that's a hoe? I don't stay with hoes. I don't fool with hoes. I tell people that all the time, I don't like hoes. I hate them. I think hoes only good for one thing, and that's it. And in a relationship-wise, no. I just couldn't. I mean, like, why would I don't expect a woman to stay with a man and sit up there and would cheat on her in a marriage or just a relationship. Like, why would you take a dude or a female back? That's stupid. You know, like homeboy last week, it was talking about, all the times he was breaking up. Like, why would you take a person back like that? And mine was begging. Oh, mine was doing some Keith Sweat begging to take, you know, to give her a chance, give her a chance. I'm like, I ain't giving you nothing but a divorce paper. That's all you're getting. Signed on the dotted line. And like I said, now to this day, she regretted. She even told me, I regret everything I ever did. Because this is not the life I want to live. I said, well, ain't nothing I could do about it. You know, you made your bed and I lay in it. So somebody else took your spot and gladly took it. You know, and they ain't acting right while they doing it. So I don't know what to tell you about that. Say, just raise my son right. It's the only thing I'm asking you to do. But, you know, I mean, that's life, that's relationships. But, and like I said before, I should be the king hater of women. I should be. You know, just I've seen how, like I said, how even the courts defend women, you know. So, but I ain't like that. It's just an individual thing, and not everybody like that. But, you know, let's talk more, like I said, by these people who hate. And one thing that you probably will experience, let's say like in your career, you know, we want to talk about the career, people hating, or even your college, that's still career-wise. You know, now, why would somebody hate on you at the same level you're at? Now, you say you're in college, you're trying to get your degree. Mm-hmm. What kind of hater have you experienced at the college level?
Well, in the college level, for a female, an attractive female at that, not trying to sound cocky, but...
You're not sounding cocky when you said that. Go ahead.
A lot of girls will be sitting there looking at me, rolling their eyes, you know, like petty, childish stuff. And because it's a very rare combination when you see a girl who's articulate, sophisticated, classy, well-traveled, attractive, a lot of men interested in them. Girls will look at people like me as competition. And especially with females, women don't like competition. They, you know, this is why you see girls on the Bad Girls Club always fighting each other, hitting each other, spitting on each other, and doing stupid stuff. Because when you're at that level, when you're all pushing towards the same goal, and not everybody is going to come out on top, you know, that's why there's always going to be a lot of hate there. There's always going to be a lot of cattiness and, you know, people trying to get at you, trying to tear you down because they don't want to see you succeed because they know that you're going to come out better than they will, you know. And in my experience, like, I've been very lonely because when in terms of female friendships, because they usually will just, you'll be friends for a minute and then you start losing weight or we go to a party and the female friend is over there bending it over, shaking it down, and doing all kind of flips and tricks at the party, and they end up with a bunch of one-night stands, and I'm over here, got more phone numbers by just standing there and having casual chit-chat with a bunch of people. They don't like that. And so, you know, in my experience, it's just led to a lot of broken friendships, and it's hard from my standpoint.
Well, on a career level, I want to talk about that. There's so many different factions you could talk about. But at the career level, you know, you know, like I said, you're a brother, you know, brother or sister, they have a career. You know good and well it's a hard wall. It's not as easy because you got different factions. Let's talk about the black folks. You got black folks that's on this old Uncle Tom, yes sir, master stuff, and trying to cut you down every chance they get because they fear you're going to take their place at master's table. Now, you don't want nothing to do with them or what's going on. You're just trying to make your money. You're trying to get whatever promotion that you're trying to get. But no, they feel like they don't want you to have a better promotion. They don't want to teach you how to get past certain levels in your job so you can exceed. They always see you as a threat. Because like I said, they'll sit up there, they'll go dime you out on these jobs. They'll sit up here, be acting like I said, some doggone slaves to people at the job. And them people ain't sitting there laughing at them when they do it. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. That's one thing you have to deal with. Then, it depends on what job you have and where you're at, you may have to deal with a little racism. You know, because the scariest thing a black man could be and a black woman is smart. Not the fastest runner or the strongest muscles, is using that muscle in your head and being smart. Know when to speak, know when to act, know how to conduct yourself. I mean, and you can do everything to the point they really just depend on you for everything. That's scary. So you got some people that don't have a lick of sense, you know, trying to be your boss, and you know good and well you could take their job, so they the one trying to mess with you also on these jobs. So that's two different factions that you may have to deal with. But I'm going to say the first one is one you're going to deal with the most. Not so much the racist side of it, just in my experience, you're going to deal with the side with the black folks. I've had more white people treat me cool, looked out for me on jobs, literally, than I've had black folks that are trying to undercut me and trying to get me fired on a job or get me, you know, out of a certain position I've had or whatever. Now, that don't make no sense right there. It's your own people trying to undercut you. When you look in everybody else's community, they help each other out. You know, they try to hook each other up with a job, and when they actually get the job, they actually want to work the job or whatever. Us, oh, no, we ain't going to help each other on the job. We're not going to try to get another brother or sister who will work, I'm going to say, a job. No, it's like, shoot, I got mine. They better get theirs. You know, that's what we're on, a lot of us in our community. And that don't make a bit of sense, hence why we always at the bottom and why we always behind in the career area. Until we help each other and stop all this hating and stop all this, you know, trying to kick another brother or sister down that's on the come up and try to mentor our younger brothers and sisters so they can be successful and not walk some of the routes we walked at. You get what I'm saying? Because some of the biggest haters I've ever seen in my life is older folks. Older than me. They just mad that they can't do you. They're mad. They're mad that you've gone. They're just mad. All the time mad. And the worst hate I've ever seen is a female that ain't got a man and ain't getting none on the regular. Oh, man, I hate them females myself. Dealt with one of them today. Oh, boy. I mean, they are royal B.I.s. I mean, literally. Literally. I mean, man, that's the worst female to deal with, I think. Don't you think, in my opinion? Well, your opinion, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Because it's the women that really, when they feel that they're not desired, and they know that, you know, they know that they're like, they're pushing 40, pushing 50, no one's checking for them. That's when they get mad. That's when they start getting that resentment kicks in. When they feel like, well, damn, I'm 40 years old. I'm 50 years old. I don't have a man. I got three kids, or maybe two or three kids. I have this crappy mid-level job. I have nothing going for myself. So why not try to bring everybody else down too? And that's why they're so hard to deal with.
Exactly. Exactly. It don't make no sense. Now, I'm a hold on. I got to ask my brother here a question. Hey, Human Paradox, let me ask you a question,
yes,
brother. Hey, on the job, man, what I was saying a little earlier, like, in your experience, have you dealt with either A, more black folks trying to take you down, or B, a racist person trying to take you down?
Yeah, I like what you're saying, because it's from my experience that you're exactly right. I mean, black people have a crab in a bucket mentality, and once someone does crawl out of the bucket, you know, a lot of them don't look back, and you know, they're the first ones to step on you and the last ones to help you. So I do agree. I've seen it. I work for a major bank, so I know firsthand how it goes.
Oh yeah, you fighting all the slings and arrows in the banking world.
Yeah, I want to ask Ms. Gabriella a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it? And I noticed this as you were talking. I noticed that really attractive women, often their friends, or especially their best friend, is often undesirable, to say the least.
Oh, I know that too. Why?
Honestly, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. In my experience, my closest friends, the people that really love me and that look out for me, may not be the most baddest chick in the club, but they have a heart of gold, and I know that I can come to them and count on them. a lot of these attractive women out here, they, you know, like, they are as dumb as rocks, and they're boring, and all they want to do is talk about.
I agree.
So it's like,
because they never had to develop that skill.
Exactly, because they know that they can rely on their looks, and so they never try to, you know, develop their other skills.
And but you know what? I live in Dallas, that kind of woman, a lot of times when she hits 40, and she realizes that, you know, she didn't cash in her chips, and she you know, she's not married, you know, then a lot of them seek to, you know, they start getting, you see that in L.A. a lot. A lot of 40-year-old women that are still good looking, but, you know, then they started getting into different religions, and because when they were younger, all they were doing is, you know, they were just traveling everywhere, and just kind of, you know, trying to date ballers, and they never developed any kind of skills. But when you see them with their friends, like, I noticed that they're almost always, like, not just average looking, a lot of times a completely unattractive, like, big fat girls. I've rarely seen a really attractive woman and her best friend was even close. I mean, I really see
that. But for you, I don't have any really close, attractive female friends, and I don't want to sound like a bad person, but
would you be threatened? Is that partly because you're threatened by that?
Because I have my own, you know, I'm not threatened by any other attractive woman because I know I have my own unique qualities. I would love to have a woman that could stand toe to toe with me, but it's hard to find that combat.
Wait a minute now. Hold on, Kimo Savvy. What did you just say? I'm sitting up here, you know, trying to post stuff. What did you just say? You said that somebody stepped toe to toe with you. What did you just say?
No, he said it's not a lot of women that can step toe to toe with.
What do you mean by that? Step toe, like, what are you getting at? Before I say something, what are you getting
all
at?
Around.
When I say that, if I would love to have a woman that could stand toe to toe with me, I mean I would love for someone to be identical, as in.
Well, nobody
would
never be identical to you. That's the wonderful thing about being human beings. We're not the same.
Yeah.
No, but
you need to have
some similar interest or something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just very.
You know,
rare
doctors, you know, in most cases aren't friends with trash men. I mean, you have to have, you know, something, you know, something going.
Well, then,
if that doctor liked that, then I wouldn't want to be friends with him either.
I'm just making a point. I'm just saying, you know.
I understand.
I mean, that might be a bad example.
You got to go out and find, well, if you can go out and scout and find me a very attractive woman who's not as dumb as a rock and not sleeping with every man in town, then, you know, I'll be friends with her.
There's not many of them.
That's not
a land of a baller.
No, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's plenty of them. That's a lie. I could tell you from firsthand knowledge, that's a lie. But usually they're not your age. They're usually older.
And that's why they're usually...
Right, that is exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's what
but
I
guess
mean,
what? When they were younger, that guess what they were doing?
Not all of them. Not all of them. I can't say that because I don't really get hard on females like that because, like, come on, we as dudes do that junk. So I'm like this. Sometimes, you know, it's like nobody would even know what she did if she don't have a kid. I mean, just keep it 100. The only thing that's going to show it what she was doing if she have a kid. But she don't have a kid and you met her, you wouldn't know a doggone thing.
No, I disagree. Here's what I disagree.
I'm gonna tell you something.
When I meet and in Dallas, there's lots of them. When I meet a woman that's 40 years old or 35, 40, over 30, and she's never been married and doesn't have any kids, hasn't been in a long-term relationship, okay? You can pretty much fill in the blank. Now, you know, obviously, you know, who cares what her past is? If I choose to date her, I don't really care who she's been with. As long as you clean and you don't have no, you know, you don't have no, you're not a sex offender or killer or some shit. But, you know, even if she doesn't have a kid, if she's a certain age and she's never, She's never been married. You know she's been dating different dudes. I mean, but who cares? I mean, we all, you know, have skeletons in our closet. So I don't really judge on that. But I want to make another point too about this hater thing. Is one thing I realized as I got older is that a lot of times the very people trying to sabotage you is not people at work. It's your friends and your family. For instance, me, you know, I was the first one in my family to graduate college, in my immediate family. But when I was trying to go to college, you know, my dad would say stuff like, oh, you know, you don't really need college. I mean, it's cool if you go to college, but, you know, do you really need that? You know, why don't you just go to trade school? You know, sort of indirectly trying to sabotage you. Not trying to sabotage you, really, but just, you know, it's like your friends and family sometimes don't want to see you do better than they're doing. And I think it's subconscious. How many times, Ms. Gabriella, you know this, how many times have you been trying to watch your figure or something? And one of your family or friends will say, "Oh, you can have some cake or some of this ice cream. It's not gonna hurt you." And they know
that's a lot of Southern Black folks pulling that. I can tell you that right now, because Southern Black folks, we love to eat down here.
But it's not about the food. It's about they know that you're trying to, you know, watch your body, watch yourself, and they're not, and they don't really want to see you. They love you. You know, it's not like they're not your friend or not your family. But seeing you succeed far beyond them will force them to look in the mirror, and I think a lot of people subconsciously don't like that. If you say, "Hey, you know, I want to move to another city." Oh, why are you doing that? You know, you need to stay here close to your family. You know, but sometimes to be successful, you got to move away from home. I read a statistic that I think it's like 60% of people, they never move more than 40 miles away from where they're raised at.
And a lot of black folks definitely be pulling
oh,
that
yeah.
one.
That's a very
like I say, interesting statistic and everything. And like I said, I want to get into another part because I really need to get into this other section. So let me go back and talk to Ms. Gabrielle a little minute.
No problem.
A little bit. Like I said, we appreciate you answering that call, bro.
Thanks for letting me talk.
Oh, no problem, brother. So, Ms. Gabrielle, I got to ask you a question. Now, this is something that, like I said, a lot of people have dealt with. And this is the slings and arrows you're going to deal with getting online. And you probably can relate to this, too. Before I speak, what are your experiences with online haters?
Online haters are the worst. Because, you know, family
members. Why are they the worst?
Online is actually the worst because depending on what you're trying to do online, a lot of the times, I've seen stories of people getting scared off the internet. And there's been people who will start going, you know, flag your account down or all that hard work you put in, they'll sit there and try to put a virus on your website. So, you know, sometimes that's actually people's livelihood that can be taken away by people online, and it's really annoying
because it's in my head. Let me say it before you continue. When it comes to that's a YouTube thing. That flagging. Listen, when you know, when I had got word that a person wanted to do that mess, try to get that mess happen to me, I talked to somebody in YouTube that has way more clout than me. You know, because I don't say my affiliation to who I know, but I know certain people. I talked to the dude about it, and the dude told me this. As long as your video doesn't violate YouTube terms of service, they will not remove it. Only thing they will do, a flag will make them review it. He said, but they're not going to remove it. So the best way is to learn their terms of service. That way, when a person tries to do that to you, you won't be removed. And as you see how things go on that particular website, and this is why I had made the push, and this is why I spent the money to have, you know, get my website going, because I'm so sick of tired of, like, well, you can't. My thing is not the flagging. My problem is the corporation of Google. You can't post news clips. You can't post TV shows. You can't post crap or they're going to try to remove it and copyright strike your account.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? At least that's my issues. I don't have the problems with that flag and stuff, but I kind of follow the rules. But that's my issue with the corporations. That's what I battle. But anyway, keep continuing. You can go ahead.
Basically, my thing is that a lot of people that are – the problem is when you're up and coming and you're trying to make something of yourself, that's when people are constantly trying to claw at you. I've noticed that once you get to a certain point where you've reached that level, you know, a really high level of success, people, they try to hate on you, but it's not as bad. But it's when you're actually on the up and coming, that's when things are the worst because – you know, the people that you thought were your friends will be the same ones who will be constantly trying to ruin everything that you work for. And they will sit there and try to, you know, they'll try to get you in and keep you close to them so they can keep you down. And, you know, they can see, like, there's a lot of people that can go out there and they can smell potential. And when they know that you got potential, they'll say, okay, well, let me go over to that person and be friends with them. And, you know, I'll come at them with that mentor angle. And you'll sit there and think that someone's over there trying to help you out. But what they're trying to do is kind of use you to help themselves scale up and then push you down at the same time. And then before you know it, they done turned on you, try to turn everybody else against you, and they've ended up leeching off of your success. And that's just my experience. So,
well, let me tell you my experience. I got experience. Everybody knows my experience as of late, okay? And, you know, at first, like I said, it bothered me a little bit because my attitude is, you know, the last thing I expect is, you know, black person, black people to try to take you down. But in the real world, you know, and I call it the real world, that's all who try to take you down. That's why, you know, you have to get away from black folks. Every single time, I'm sorry to say that, every single time a black person make it, why you think they always walk off and they never come back? And then everybody want to call them sellout. No, it's not that they're selling out. They tried to stay with the community. They tried. But everybody in the community want to attack them. They want to say something to them or try to destroy them and take them down. So it's sad that when you walk away and you don't have them issues and problems anymore and you don't deal with nobody, this is why they do it. I've talked to, like I said, my homeboy 50-50 Pimpin', you know, he's a comedian. Talked to him. You know, he's always busy doing shows. And he said the exact same thing. My cousin. You know, he's traveling and singing all the time. That boy everywhere singing. He said that he go, you know, try to work with black folks. They don't want to pay. They want a discount. He said he go over to the white clubs, white establishments. He said not only do they pay him, they ask him, is it enough? And still, ain't giving free drinks, and he don't even ask. Mm-hmm. Now, how is it that when you start scaling up, why other communities are treating, you know, I'm not saying they're not treating you so great or anything, but I'm just saying in a business sense. Wouldn't you think that your own people would treat you good? Wouldn't they? I mean, they should be more supportive. But no, that's why black folks always leave the community and go stay elsewhere. They move totally away and never to return. It's because of that issue that, like I said, we can't stand to see another black person come up. Okay? But, you know, when I was saying my issue with the whole thing, it's like one thing I said is this. You do not argue with people online. You don't do that. Like I say, in my personal life, I don't argue with people. I don't go back and forth with people like that. Because half of these people that's telling you things online will not tell you that to your face if they met you. Trust me, they would not. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to have that key board courage and say stuff to people. Now, you know, the situation with me and everybody know that situation. You know, everybody's come up to me. I mean, just even people in my personal life that know about, you know, my stuff or whatever, saying, why that's going on or whatever like that. Say, man, look, I had to back off and said this much. A person told me that, you know, he said, you need to take your own advice. And I was like, what they meant by that? And they said that, you know, when you say you don't deal with hood rats, you wouldn't deal with a Shadia Lane. You say, well, you know, they got menace like that in this day and time. And I didn't think about it. I said, you know, they're right. I did not think about it like that. They are some male Shadia Lanes, loud mouth, always got something to say, always got some drama, always got some mess going on, just like them hood rat females I can't stand. And hood rats don't like me and I don't like them. That's our relationship. So, you know, a lot of these dudes is on that too. And if they like that, I ain't got nothing to say to them. They can say whatever they want. So I said, I took the pimp and hoe approach from now on when it comes to people like that. You can talk about me all you want online. Fine, go ahead and do that. But I'm like this. Hoe, bring me my money. Hoe, bring me attention. Hoe, bring me all this other stuff. That's what I was like. Because the more you talk about me, the more people going to say, who is that dude? Because I've had people write me and say, you know, I didn't know nothing about you until a person was talking about you. And I had to come see who you were. Because human curiosity going to want to know, who is that person? Who are they talking about? And they're going to say, you know, they said to me, you're nothing like how they said. I didn't like what they said, you know, really said, because that was kind of foul. But I just wanted to see. They said, I'll say, there you go. I said, so why would you do that? Like, if somebody's, you know, nothing to you or whatever, then you don't even talk about them. You don't mention their name. That's how you do it. You could talk about them but not mention their name. Now, if somebody else mentioned their name, you didn't mention it. So that's speculation who you're talking about. That's why I don't mention, you know, names like that to, you know, maybe a person, you know, that particular person that was doing that. Because, like I say, I've had people in my personal life ask me about that. Yes, on my job ask me about that. They watch my stuff now. Ask me about that. And I just say, look, I say that's kind of entertainment purposes. It's nothing to take. I don't take that serious. I mean, nothing online I take serious like that. I say that's just all entertainment. I say that's how I look at it with some people. I mean, because some people don't even believe their own words that they say. I mean, so why would I even get entertained that? I said, now, when you come to my house and you start doing something or do something to my family, then we're going to have a problem. It's nothing, it's nothing nobody can say about me that's going to shame me, because I'm a dark-skinned black man. I've been called every name in the book because I'm dark-skinned and I got African features. It's point blank. I've been called kind of names, so it doesn't bother me. You know what I'm saying? These days, and I've been seeing this a lot, some of these dudes calling each other ugly online. What is that about? Grown men acting, I'm sorry, that's like women. You see them there calling each other ugly online. You're ugly. You're ugly. Like, you know, that's like females say that to each other. Well, you don't look good as me. You're ugly. You know? I mean, now you as a woman hearing men do that, how do you feel on that? When you hear grown men, and not men that's like even 19, men in their 30s and older talking like that to each other, calling each other ugly, saying, I mean, what do you think about that?
I think it's childish. Like, I think it's really childish. It's not cute. It's almost embarrassing, because I get annoyed when I see a 40-year-old woman doing that. So when it's a man going around calling somebody ugly instead of actually presenting a valid argument, that's when I think it's funny, because I'm more impressed if someone can actually bring up valid points and can really embarrass somebody by speaking the truth about someone. And that takes a lot. It's a lot. It's easy to go and say, oh, you're ugly, you're fat, you're stupid. But if you can actually get the upper hand in an argument and you can really make someone look stupid by presenting facts and evidence and doing it in an articulate way, that's when, you know, that shows a real man. So...
But at the end of the day, that stuff ain't going to make you no money and they don't make you rich. I mean, what CEO in America is online talking about another CEO? You're ugly. You're this. They don't do that. You don't even see them doing that. They back there making their money, taking their kids on these lavish vacations and their wife. That's the difference between a lot of these CEOs in America and us on the black community. Everybody in the black, a lot of black folks want fame. That's what they want. They love applause. It's like round of applause. You know what I'm saying? That's what they want. Like, I've never been a popular kid in school. So it doesn't bother me if somebody, like, don't like me. That's the wonderful thing about me. It's the people that's used to attention, they will do whatever it takes to hold it. And like I said, I don't care. You know, that's just me. I do not care. I'm all about business. Everything I do always has some sort of angle to it. Yes, I care in some instance about, you know, trying to put out a good, you know, message and try to say things to try to help brothers. Because when I get emails like, you know, man, I didn't have my father around, like one brother had told me, I didn't have my father around, and he said that, you know, watching, you know, your videos or some other brother's videos really helped me to kind of, you know, raise my daughter better and stuff like that. You know, right there tells me I need to focus my attention on things that matter and things that count, not this idiotic back and forth that's not helping nobody. Because I even had people write me and tell me, say, hey, man, just focus on what you do. Don't focus on that sort of thing. That's going to distract you and take you off of what you're doing. You know, and then I was reading a tweet T.D. Jakes said, and T.D. Jakes has said that, you know, the devil can't stop God from blessing you, but he sure can take the joy away from you when you're getting it. And I'm like, you know, I said, wow, that's a pretty good quote. You know, I mean, like, you're going to come up, you're going to do what you're going to do, but you're not, you know, it's like if you let it, that stuff, you're not going to be happy. And there's a lot of people that are just not happy. It's like, you know, it's like no matter what, it's like, do you see any, like, major celebrities even doing that to each other? Like, think about it. You see Will Smith getting on TV, arguing with, Denzel Washington about stupid stuff? No, Will Smith does him. Denzel Washington does him. They don't worry about each other like that because they both got something going on. When you have something going on in your life, you ain't got time to focus on what another man or woman is doing. That tells me a lot. When you're worrying about another man or woman so much, what are you doing with your time? The whole time you figuring, trying to worry about them and figure them out and so-called embarrass them and shame them or whatever, like they care. You get what I'm saying? Like, what are you doing? You're taking away from your day to worry about somebody else. And there's a lot of people in life that do that. They worry about you, worry about where you go, what you do, how you dress, how you act, worry about all this other stuff. They know more about you than you know about you. I mean, they probably know what time you wake up in the morning and piss. I mean, seriously. I mean, but, you know, when you step yourself out there like that, and I even have people tell me, you know, man, this is why I don't even, you know, do anything online, or that's why I don't even make YouTube videos, or whatever. They got people that are afraid to make videos, afraid to even talk, because they're afraid somebody's going to come at them like that. And that's sad. That is so sad. Because some people just can't deal with that. You know, the same thing like I told you, you're going to get into that, you really going to get serious on that thing, you better have a thick skin.
Oh, no. I mean, it's, of course, you're always going, I mean, but one of the keys to dealing with haters is to have a good support system. If you're able to have someone that you can talk to about your problems, then it's easier, then you won't have to sit there and be vocal about it publicly. You won't have to sit there and be, you know, out there on Twitter going back and forth, making yourself look stupid and making yourself look childish.
Exactly. You know, you got people on Twitter arguing and all this other stuff. Like, why would you publicly argue with somebody on Twitter? Of all places to do that at? Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's stupid. And like, think like this. You especially, if you're somebody that really got something going for you, how does it going to look to a potential person that wants you to do something in business or whatever? How does it going to look? You acting all childish, and how are you going to represent their brand? They know you can't take criticism from somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you got to learn how to take. So for me, all that is a learning experience, because everybody's not going to agree with you. How many people sit there and talk about, you know, which I don't agree with this chick too much myself, but how many people talk about Kim Kardashian every day? They saying something about that chick every day. Bad stuff. A lot of some of it's true, but still, think about if you were her, and every time you go to the grocery store, somebody passing your face saying something, true or untrue. I mean, she got to deal with it, or you know, any celebrity, Kobe or whoever, got to deal with people always talking about them, and you can't lash out at everybody that says something about you. You can't do that. You got to learn how to basically, like I said, take it, deal with it. And, you know, go on with, you know, with your life. Get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, brother, you got a question? 469, you got a question? No, I guess not. 469-774, you got a question? No, I guess he left out. Anyway, Well, this person in the chat room says they hate, you know, haters. They said they always hating. That's right, they always hating. Shoot. But the worst kind of haters to have is this. Ones that you would think they'll be doing stuff with their life. And, you know, it's worse than somebody hating on you. And they got more than you. Have you ever dealt with that? Like, they're actually more set up than you. They got more money than you. You can see they got more than you. And yet they worrying about you and you're not even there yet. Have you ever dealt with that?
Yeah, I've seen that before, too. But they might have more financial success, but then they might be jealous of you in certain areas because they might have it all, but then late at night they're lonely. Or, you know, they might be in a failing marriage, or, you know, there's so many other problems. And just because you have money does not always mean that your life is going to be perfect. And so just because you're successful doesn't mean that you can't hate on other people too.
Exactly. So somebody asked a question. How do you deal with racist haters? Unfortunately, in life, you got those kind of people, period. And there's nothing you could do about it. My attitude is this. You can say whatever you want. Just don't put your hands on me. If you put your hands on me, I'm going to try my best to mess you up. That's just bottom line. That's where I come from. Because, I mean, I can't stop you from talking. You can't stop nobody from talking. If they call you some sort of racial slur at your job, don't hit them. You go take them to court and cry and act like everything's wrong and you had emotional distress and everything and sue them. That's what you do, and get some of that money. Now, if they put their hands on you, then like I said, put them in the hospital.
Mm.
Make them have a $5,000. Yes, right. A bigger man does walk away, but you don't walk away with your back turned either. You know what I'm saying? You don't walk away with your back turned. No, I tell people that. Yeah, you can walk away, but don't turn your back. Because, you know, a lot of people are like dogs. You know how a dog look at you and want to do you something the moment you walk away from them? They'll go ahead and try to bite you. There's a lot of people like that because they're cowards. I mean, face somebody straight up, you're going to do something. You want to talk all that. But see, like I said, most folks, like you said, they have that racist attitude. They're not going to really walk up to you and call you no racist slur. Unless you by yourself and there's a bunch of them, that's usually how it's going to happen. You know, so, I mean, most black folks in America have not dealt with somebody really calling them that to their face, like back in the day. So, you know, you deal with the undercover racism now, you know, like they really don't like you, but they're trying to act like they do, and you got to know how to spot that. You know, just like I said, coming from the town I came up from, you know, there was just a lot of that going on, and you know, just on both sides of the coin, you know. But, you know, it's you know, people sometimes don't have nothing to do with themselves. To me, they don't have no life. They really don't. Because, you know, I couldn't sit there and just be worrying about somebody else online all day. I just couldn't do that. I mean, like today, I got myself up, went to a meeting. They were so boring. Oh, it was boring. It was so boring. Hearing about all those topics. I don't want to get up early in the morning and hear nothing about no doggone, you know, CPR and first aid and safety equipment and everything else. I mean, for 8 hours, I had to sit down and listen to that. Then after I got all that was a training class I got paid for. I went to the gym. I hit it pretty hard in the gym today. Yeah, pretty hard. And then came home to get set up for the show and everything, and then now I'm doing this. So what time I have on my hands, really, to do, you know, much of anything with anybody else? It's I don't see how anybody do it. Keep up with someone else. Sometimes they type the comments. Sometimes it makes someone feel better, I guess, to hate on others. Yeah, because they're miserable. They have no life. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, and you have too much time in your hands. You get something to do with your life, you won't have that kind of time to worry about somebody else. That's just kind of how I feel about it. Because I sure ain't got that kind of time. Between my wife, my children, my job, what I'm trying to, you know, do online, establish, you know, myself. And, you know, sometimes I have a hard time even making YouTube videos sometimes because I got all this stuff going on half the time. And, you know, you're right. They ain't got nothing better to do. Exactly. Because they have no life. They have no life. So their life is you. And when their life is you, they're going to make sure they pay attention to you. They live for you. And it's sad. But let me see here. Hey, brother, you got another question or comment?
Oh, man, no, just listening. I do want to say, you know, we all support you, man. We love your show. I know I do. This Human Paradox again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
I know.
And you know, don't be afraid to be polarizing, man. You know, the love and the hate is what makes it all great. You know, if people aren't hating, you ain't doing your job.
Exactly. So, but too, you know, you can't really waste your time dealing with people like that as well. And I was telling, you know, Ms. Gabriella that, I mean, it's like, you know, you're going to deal with that sort of thing. You step into this online stuff. You're going to step into the battlefield of that. It's just going to happen. And you got to know how to just baby deal with it. As long as somebody's not physically doing something to you, then, hey, well, fake man, you want to call in? Go ahead and call in. It just type in the comment section. They say you want to call in. Anybody in the chat room, call in. This show is open for anybody to call in. We want to talk about their issues or problems. That's what it's for.
And you know something else too?
What's that?
My thing is one thing I like about your show, and you're one of the few that I really faithfully follow, is that I don't agree with everything you say.
Of course not.
And
you should.
I think if I did, it's not interesting. You know, it's like I listen to all kinds of people. I listen to Rush Limbaugh. You know, I'm not a Republican, and I know he don't like black folk, and he don't like poor folk either. But I can still appreciate different opinions other than my own. I don't understand why people online, you know, obviously they lack courage, how they can just you know, try and get you shut down just simply because they don't agree with you. Like, to me, that makes it more interesting, you know, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to listen to someone I always agree with.
Even if you like the person, you're not gonna agree with everything they say. I mean, it just
right.
You're just not. I mean, that's just human nature. You're not gonna agree with everything. I mean, you have your own mind to look up things for yourself. There's some things that I've said and made videos, and somebody has came to me in a respectful manner and say, "No, brother, you're wrong." And I'm gonna tell you why you're wrong and explain it. And I look at it. It's been times I've deleted videos because somebody explained to me how I was wrong. And I say, you know what, you're right. And I've deleted videos plenty of times because of that. Because I have no problem with somebody saying that, hey, I really don't agree, you know, and this is why. But don't come at me with no sideways, oh, you stupid. Now, you tell me that, I'm just going to just delete, block you right off the bat because you don't know me to talk to me like that. Now, there's one person talking about Rush Limbaugh. They're saying Rush is from an elite class. Rush Limbaugh, in my opinion, what Rush Limbaugh is, Rush Limbaugh is just an old, you know, dude that's really on that undercover racism stuff. That's really what he is.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
I agree.
I mean, that's what he is, and he's trumped up. I mean, like, think about it. Recently, Rush Limbaugh come out and says that he was upset that the Shorty Low show got canceled. When I heard Rush Limbaugh say he was upset, I said, oh, no, I'm glad the show is. And I said, I was supporting, like, trying to get the brother to get his show back. But if Rush is supporting it, I don't want to see it. Because I can see Rush Limbaugh now when he said that. Every week, he would be watching just so, and it goes right back to haters. And Rush Limbaugh watched everything black people do so he could talk about it.
But here's the thing. At least he has an opinion. You know, it's kind of, you know, CNN.
The KKK got an opinion, too.
I know that.
Okay.
Everybody has an opinion, but what I can't deal with is listen to someone that doesn't voice their opinion. You know, I'm not a big fan of CNN. I'd rather listen to Fox News or CNBC. You know, MSNBC.
Oh, I don't fool no Fox News. I don't fool no Sean Hannity. Get them Fox News.
I know Sean Hannity's a fool, but I'm saying he'll fool, all right. But Anderson Cooper, you know, you listen to Anderson Cooper, it don't seem like he have no opinions, man. Like, he's a glorified news reporter, man. You know what I'm saying? I like opinions. I like opinionated people. That's why I like Howard Stern. That's why I like listening to you. You know, obviously Tommy Sotomayor, he says a lot of crazy stuff, but I still listen to him because he's opinionated. I like Tariq Nasheed. I just like Bill O'Reilly, I like opinionated people, even if it's not always something I agree with. So, you know, keep doing your thing, brother.
All right, appreciate it. I'm trying to get this other person. I'm going to get on this other person. Well, not get on to him. I'm going to tell him, hey, man, you say he's going to call in. Call in, man. This is a family life over here. We don't run nobody off unless you're talking stupid. But like I said, call in, man. You say you want to call in. I want to hear your opinion because who you are, B. Bright, and who else was typing? I'm trying to see here. Nobody won't hang out with no. I wouldn't hang out with no Rush Limbaugh to save my life. Cause Rush Limbaugh say something stupid. Okay, you say you're trying to call. Well, try this number out. I'm putting in another number because they say they're trying to call in. So, brother, I'm gonna mute you out. Cause I'm gonna let this other person see if they can get in. Okay. Miss Gabriella, you still on the line, homie?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, just checking. This other person said they're trying to call in, but they're having a hard time. So, let me see here. That's number. Try that number right there to call in. If not, personal message me the number to call you, and I can actually call you from my switchboard if you are comfortable with me calling you from my switchboard. So, yeah, with Rush Limbaugh, I can't stand a Rush Limbaugh. No, because he always got this attitude, like he going to slap somebody. Hey, Rush Limbaugh ain't going to do nothing. He be the same dude he be walking on the other side of the street. I guarantee if I walk up to Rush Limbaugh like, and even try to speak to him, he'd probably be all apprehensive. Scared I'm going to jump him or something. You ever listen to Rush Limbaugh?
Actually, I have. So I actually do like listening to him on occasion because, like the other brother said, I like people with strong opinions, and I'm also a fan of Tariq Nasheed. I don't agree with every single thing that he says, and I wouldn't expect anyone to agree with every single thing that I say. But the fact that I'm not afraid to voice my opinion is, and anybody who is not afraid to voice their opinion is something that I can stand for. I love when, even if someone's saying something that's completely off the wall and I don't agree with it, I would rather have someone say what's on their mind and have an intelligent conversation and explain why they feel that way rather than someone sitting around lying to me or trying to say what they think I want to hear.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't want nobody lying to me either about anything. Hold on, we got a call coming in. Finally got there. All right, 318 area code, you on the show.
What's up, Mr. Vice Show?
Yeah, who is this?
This is Theo, a.k.a. Teddy Bear.
Teddy Bear. Okay, how you doing, Teddy Bear?
Doing okay. What's been going on with you, pimping?
Man, I'm hanging in there, brother.
All right, just been doing it up at that, too. I came on just in time at that, too, pimping.
Okay, what's up? What's on your mind?
Oh, nothing much to it there. I just got something to say on that subject you was talking about, haters, to it there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got something to it there, too, because I go to this program, to it there. Kind of like a rehab program, too, on there.
Yeah.
I try to get myself better, but the first thing on it, I've been losing a lot of weight, too, at that. The first thing, because I was at, like, 500 pounds at that.
Okay.
From 500 pounds until now, my weight now is 345 pounds now at that.
Oh, congratulations.
Appreciate on that, too, at that. I've been doing that much since really the end, like, in June at that, end of June.
All right, shoot. That sounds good, man. Keep going. Shoot.
Yes, indeed. I'll talk to it there. And my success, as I go into success, I know some people know it's my success on it. I just have, like, some vibes on it. Like, some people, I know, I ain't going to say no names on it, though, but I know some people in my program, really the staff at that, they don't like me at that because before, they really didn't like me before I started doing it, too, at that.
And why you feel they didn't like you?
Probably because, you know, I talk different to it there. I'm really from upstate New York, though. Oh, my voice. I talk real different to it there. Yes, indeed. And they thinking they better than I am to it there on that. But me, I try not to think on that to it there. But sometimes it gets me bothered sometimes too on that too. What's your take on that too, Pip?
Man, you can't let people worry. You can't worry about what other people think, man. It's like everybody gonna have an opinion, you know. Like, you know, it's like opinions are like buttholes. I'm pretty sure you heard that before. So you got to worry. You got to worry about you and what you got going on in your life. If you stop what you got going on in your life for what they gonna say, all they gonna do is talk about somebody else, and then you got to start way back over again from where you come from. So, like, don't even worry about them. My thing is this: you can't stop people from talking. You can't stop people from bumping their guns. You really can't.
That's
I mean, well, you could, but you're gonna go to jail. So,
right.
You know, it's like, as long as they don't put their hands on you or something like that, then you just gotta just kind of, you know, let it go. I mean, you can tell people, like, hey, man, look, you need to kind of stay in your lane. Like, so I ain't really doing you nothing or whatever. You feel like you need to tell them something. But
already.
You don't worry about nobody's opinions about you, man, because, like, everybody gonna talk about you from the time you're born to the time you're dead. And
that's
some people may be talking about after you're dead. So that's all people gonna do, man. And having the people that's talking about you, not even trying to fix their own life either. So I guarantee if you look into their life, they got so many skeletons in their closet, and you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you on that, too. And then you know what, too? The key thing on it, I know all them people's messed up things on it, too, at that. I just don't want to expose nothing on that, too, at that player, on the real
yeah.
business. I don't want to get into no fist fights and all that, too, at that, because the stuff that I spit out on that, I can get them disappeared fast. Real business.
But like I said, it ain't worth all. It ain't worth your freedom. You know, it ain't worth
real.
Your time. You know what I'm saying? Because they're locking brothers up like animals every day, bro.
That's
like the new slavery for the black man is jail. You know, they got the brothers in there all day. They give brothers more time than anybody else, and that's proven with statistics that brothers get more time for simple stuff. Like that movie. What's that movie? American History X?
Where
that brother got all those years in jail just for dropping the TV, he said, on the cop's foot. He got all those years in jail. Another dude that was in there that killed that black kid or whatever got less time than he did dropping the TV.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's the same story all over America about how brothers get time. So it's like, my thing is this, you know, don't get involved with that, man. Just keep doing you. You know, keep doing good on your weight loss. Like I said, it's for your health, you know, especially for your health. You know what I'm saying? So you live a long time. And like I said, just get out the program that you got going on, man, and continue on doing something successful, bro.
All right. I'm keeping on at it, too, at that. And then another thing, too, before I called you earlier, too,
uh-huh.
I damn it on that youngster's track, too, at that. Knocking pictures off the wall at that, too, at that. Give me some good motivation on there.
There you go. Find some good motivational music. You know, shoot, man, read you some good books. I mean, you know, some people that's, you know, inspiring, watching some good movies, something, man, to keep you going, man, you know. It's kind of like when I'm in the gym, certain music I listen to keep me going, keep me motivated.
Yes, indeed,
you know?
On top. Real business
Dude.
On that one. Yes, indeed. But
yes,
other than that, hey, keep up with the good show on that mother, too, at that pimper.
All right,
watch it on YouTube at that, dog. Yes, indeed.
All right, appreciate you watching and calling in, brother.
Oh, man, you take easy now. Pimp, can I get a shout-out right quick?
What's your name, man?
Theo.
All right. Well, everybody, I want to give Theo a shout-out. The brother trying to improve his life. He's dropping a lot of weight. He going to have all the females at his door, you know, like everything. You know, just don't get none of them females pregnant. We don't want you, like, shorty low or nothing.
I'll make sure I'm strapped up at that pimping on the strength. We're in business on that.
That's right. Like I always say, tell dudes. If you didn't see her take birth control, she not on it. Always keep that in your head.
Actually on that, pimp. Yes,
all right, man.
All right, you take it easy now, Doc.
All right, man.
All right.
Yeah. All right, man. That brother, that's right, keep it strapped. Shoot. Like Lil Wayne and them said, you got to keep it strapped. Anyway, so, you know, that's good, Ms. Gabriella, hear that brother doing good, you know, for himself and, you know, his brother trying to improve himself and people trying to talk down to him. You hear that?
Well, I know how it feels. Especially when in terms of weight loss. I'm only 8 pounds away from my goal weight. And I've never experienced more hate than when you are, like, almost there at that goal. That's when everybody's like, oh, you're getting too skinny. We liked you the way you were before. You know. And
yeah, but
it doesn't sound like hating if you're not. If you're not if you're not listening to it, but
yeah.
It's you know, it's kind of that undercover type stuff where they'll be like, "Oh, you're getting too thin. You need to eat more. Are you on drugs? Or you know, do you have a tapeworm?" Like they'll be saying all kind of crazy stuff.
Hold on. I'm gonna make a comment. Francisco, oh yes, you can. You can be too skinny. I've seen some people that scare me like they half dead. No, you could be. You need to be healthy. You could be too skinny, especially some of these dudes these days running around here. You know, they more skinnier than a female. Now, for me personally, like I said, I've been hitting the gym hard. You know, I've been hitting it hard. Okay, you know, I've been watching my diet. Like I said, even today, I was on that treadmill at the incline. I tried the incline at a 15, but I was having to hold on too much. So I had to put it like at 11. Now, you ever did the treadmill on like a high incline at like about 4 miles an hour? Have you ever did that?
Actually, I have a heart condition. I can't do that.
Okay. Well,
I know what it's like to push myself, and I know my limits. So I work out at home. I leave all that gym stuff to everybody else.
Yeah, see, I know. I hit it. Well, see, like I said, and then I figured out you don't have to run. I mean, that's what I loved about it today. You don't have to run because running is not good for the impact of your knees anyway. But you hit that high incline, and I did like, 25 minutes at 4 miles an hour? I mean, shoot, it wasn't even 10 minutes into it. I was pouring. And they had somebody right next to me 10 minutes and barely even got up to like 30 calories burnt. So I'm pouring. Then after I finished that, I go hit my weights. You know, I'm hitting it pretty hard. I'm doing those higher sets now, you know, in the program I'm doing or whatever, like for instance today, which a lot of, that's what I hate about the gym. You know, these dudes sometimes be looking at you when you're working out pretty hard. I'm like, dude, just ask me what I'm doing. Don't just be staring. I can't stand that. You ever dealt with that? No, you don't go to the gym, right?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm hitting my sets. I pull out all my weights today, you know, and so I was going to do it was like a pyramid set. I was going to do like 50 reps, 40 reps, 30 reps, 20 reps, and 10 reps. And I was going to pyramid it back up to 10 reps a piece, you know, just because it's kind of breaking me in for the dramatic transformation principle workout. So I did that today. All these dudes kept looking like, why is he doing so many, you know, reps? Why is he doing so many? And I'm like, what you looking at? But I guarantee you after in a few, oh, yeah, I'm going to be raw ripped up. Anyway, hold on. All right, caller that's called in, what's your name? Caller 111, you on the show? Well, I guess they... Hello, caller, you on the show? Well, I guess not. Hey, Ms. Gabriella?
Hmm?
Yeah, they say that's real hard. Francisco, you talking about that pyramid set, or what are you talking about? Are you talking about the dramatic transformation principle? He said something's real hard. But... yeah, it's not easy. I can tell you that much. And you be pouring full of sweat. And see, what I used to do, which you screw me up in the gym, was I used to try to do my weights first, then the cardio. I'd be so tired sometimes, I would skip the cardio. So what I do now, the 30% incline. Yeah, but you know what? I like that. You know, because it makes you, I look for anything that's going to burn, you know, my weight off. And like I said, I ate something I shouldn't have ate today, and like I said, so I know I got it off today. And let me see, is this other person? Caller, you on the show, what's your name?
I'm Nick. This is a person.
In.
Caller, you on the show, what's your name?
IGGA. Nigga.
I can't hear. Oh, well, I don't know who that was. But anyway, it said nigga.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to figure out what music that was. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. That was funny. Oh, no, I'm not running no marathon. This one person said he'll run a marathon in Salt Lake City one time. Forget that marathon running. I'm not doing it. I have a brother-in-law who run marathons, and he's small. He is small. I don't know what that was. They said, what was that? I don't know what that was either. I'm trying to figure it out. All I heard was a bunch of niggas in it. You got to love people. You got to love people sometimes. They just make you laugh. They really do. So, yeah, Ms. Gabrielle, but I hit it today. Like I said, tomorrow I'm getting myself right back up. You know, probably in the morning, go hit it again. And I'm trying to, you know, get all... get myself all straightened out way before summer. Because I'm going to go to Cali this summer, so I got to be straight when I go to Cali. Go out there to Malibu Beach. go walk around.
Well, it's swimsuit season coming up. I'm trying to lose my last 8, so.
And what weight right. you trying to get down to now?
100 pounds.
100 pounds even? And is that right for your height?
Yeah, I'm only 4'10".
Okay.
120 looks bad on me.
Okay.
So,
all right. Now, what kind of diet have you been doing?
I'm a vegetarian. I've been a vegetarian for about 10 years.
Vegetarian or vegan?
Vegetarian, not a vegan.
Okay. All right. Because I know somebody who's a vegan, and shoot, man, they the food they eat, I say, I can't do it. I got to have my protein now. I mean, I don't know.
No. You know, a lot of the times I actually eat a lot of Mediterranean food, and I get a lot of my protein from things like cheeses and beans and stuff like that.
How can you – let me ask you a question. Cheese is fat, very fattening. It really is. Like,
it
I stay away from it.
It depends on what type of cheese that you're eating. I don't eat processed cheese. So,
would you eat organic?
Like things like goat cheese and feta cheese. I mean, that's not exactly perfect, but I don't eat a lot of that American sliced cheese and stuff like that. That's not good for your body.
Yeah, I stay away from it. I stay away from it. Like I said, I've bought them, but mostly organic milk, eggs. You know, I mean, if I eat some rice, brown rice.
Well, one of the things that worked for me is that I followed this one lady. I don't know if she's still even doing her exercise program anymore, but it was a Christian fitness instructor type person, and her name was Gwen Chamblin, and she talked about how animals in the wild are all just about the same size. And she explains how the reason why animals, unless they're in captivity, are not obese is because they eat for survival. They don't eat just for the fun of it. And so what I do is I don't eat unless I'm hungry. I don't do I don't do what normal people do, which when they say, okay, I got to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I eat when I'm hungry and I stop when I'm full.
You don't do the what?
I don't eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at any set time. I eat when I need it. When I'm hungry, I don't.
Like for me, I've been doing the intermittent fasting. You know, I was talking about that, and what it is, you go a certain life fence. I've been doing like the 14-hour fast, and like let's say like tonight, like I had my protein shake when I got home. Well, I'm not gonna eat no more, until well, I consider a meal at least until like tomorrow after I got out of the gym, you know, and I have my protein shake, and then I start want to load up more on tuna. Cause that's what I like to do on my weight training days. I like to load up on tuna. Like I have my protein shake, and I get that big can of tuna. I eat that. I try to incorporate a lot of proteins. And of course, you know, have my my meals right. Of course, in the process, and it's been helping me. I've been just losing weight, you know, and it's like I'm the type. I have a mesomorph body type, and mesomorphs, they gain fast and lose fast. That's the body type I have. So it's like any given moment, I start eating too much, I'm going to gain weight quick.
Yeah, same way.
Especially carbs. Carbs, starchy foods, and carbs are my enemy. They go right to the gut every time and around my waistline. I cut that out of my diet, put it to a very bare minimum, and even just to the carbs is good. And I just start dropping weight. As long as I'm staying exercising, of course, I just drop weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's crazy. You know how, but everybody's body type is different. I don't know, maybe.
That's the thing is, when you talk about fitness and things like that, one of the things I've learned is that you have to find what works for you.
Exactly.
And stick with it. For me, I have a heart condition. I can't go out there and hit the gym hard and. Be doing stuff like that because I can end up killing myself acting stupid. And so what I do is I do moderate exercise and I maintain a very active lifestyle and my diet is very strict because I'm not able to go to the gym and burn things off. I know that I can't go out there and eat an ice cream sundae every night. And so my diet has a lot more, like I have to sacrifice a lot more in terms of sweets and things like that and chips and candy, but I've been able to lose all my weight and maintain it. Like last year I was pushing 140, now I'm almost 100 pounds, and it's not because of anything crazy. It's just that I exercise all the time, and I don't, if I'm going to go to the store, if it's only a mile away, I'll walk. If it's
hold on, Ms. Gabrielle. Let me see if I got a call coming in. Area code 561, you on the show?
Yeah, what up? This is Jimmy.
Okay, how you doing, Jimmy? What, you got a question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, like, what's your opinion on potted plants?
My opinion on potted plants?
Yeah, dude. And, like, haters overall. Potted Jimmy, like, potted plants, my bad. And, dieting. Like, I'm trying to lose, like, maybe up to 100 pounds, dude.
Okay, how's your diet?
I've been eating, I stay away from the lettuce, because, you know, I mean, real niggas don't eat lettuce. But I be eating that fried chicken, I be eating, like,
I don't know what that was about. So, anyway, I need to start screening these calls I see as they come in. Somebody said potted plants, that's funny. Remember that other guy they called in? They were talking about...
The same guy talking about shooting up marijuana.
That was the funniest thing like ever, that he called and said, "You are shooting up marijuana." That was awesome. I said, that was great. I say, now you said potted plants. Like, does this look like a gardening show? Are we talking about plants? Come on, man. You know, but I love when people play like that sometimes. That dude, it's funny. It makes the time go by. But anyway, yeah, the way, see, your situation, yeah, you can't work out. So it's like, yeah, you got to be strict on your diet.
Yeah, and you gotta my exercise is very light, but it's constant. Like, I do some type of light cardio. I dance. That's my cardio, because I can stop whenever I need to, you know, and I don't have to push myself too hard, and I still get results. I'm able to burn all the calories off. But then I also have to do squats and sit-ups and all that and push-ups every single night. So it requires a lot of discipline, too. And what I've noticed is a lot of people, they want the quick fix, and it doesn't work like that. It's, you know, weight loss is something, it's a lifestyle change. You have to do it for the rest of your life. You can't sit there and, you know, go on some crazy diet, lose 50 pounds overnight, and then expect to keep that off, because it's not going to work.
And, you know, you got to have, you know, a lifestyle change. That's really what you got to have. You got to have a lifestyle change. It can't, like I say, you can diet, and diet means temporary. You want to say, I want to change, you know, my eating for the rest of my life. And that's really what, you know, you got to do, is you got to switch everything over. And then when you have a family, you know, you definitely got to switch everything over. And people going to say something like that. Why you ain't got to be eating that? That organic food is expensive. You ain't got to spend your money. I'm like, hold on. This is our money. Why are you telling me what to do with our money? Well, you ain't got nothing good in the house. Well, go eat at your house. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yes, we're talking about haters, but, hey, you know, on this show, we'll get into other topics. Unless y'all bring up the conversation, y'all bring up the questions, and we'll definitely answer it. So, yes, we are talking about haters on this show. Oh, God. Anyway. So... I don't know. I got this other call, but I just need to see if I could screen. So, Ms. Gabriella, I'm going to screen this call here for a minute. But now, when, like, the last time somebody was really, really, really hating on you, have you ever gotten to the point that you wanted to fight?
No.
You never got to that point?
No, I never gotten to the point where I wanted to fight.
Really? Nobody's never got on your nerves that bad?
I know that I can't fight. And I'm not stupid enough to try.
You don't say so that you can't fight. You don't say that you can't fight. There's somebody going to try you just because you said it.
Well, I don't have to fight because I can get that taken care of, right?
Yeah, you need to go take some MMA classes or something. You could, you know, like, go fight in the ring and call yourself, you know, the Pink Chihuahua or something. I don't know.
Considering that I have a low-voltage taser, I don't really need to go toe-to-toe and be doing
fisticuffs. Oh, so you dug on shocking niggas.
Well, you gotta, like, the strongest opponent isn't always the person that can swing their fist the hardest. You gotta use what you got at your disposal, so.
Ah, that's funny. That is funny. I like that. Gabriella said,
I mean, I'm not going to sit there and try to swing on you because I'm not stupid.
I'm a peaceful person. I'm very peaceful. I don't start anything with nobody. I like everybody to be my friend. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of why I'm at in life. I'm in Zen mode all the time. That's why I don't get what people, you know, want to be hating on me of all people. Like, man, I don't bother nobody. I just stay at my house. That's all I do. I don't get myself involved with nobody's mess. You bring it to me, I don't even want to hear about it. I'm like, hey, man, that's you. I don't know nothing about that. That's really why I go with it. Like, I don't want to know nothing. I don't want to hear nothing. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, it's crazy. It's crazy, boy. I tell you what. You know, like I said, anybody want to donate to the United Negro Technical Fund? I sure need to raise me some money for a new laptop. And I'm playing. I'm not asking for no money. If they say, oh, there you go. You're a Negro asking for money. I'm like, no, I work. I can buy my own. Thank you.
Well, I mean, you could donate to the United Negro College Fund, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. A mine is a terrible thing to waste, huh?
You know, you can help a poor little college student out if you want to.
A mine is a terrible thing to waste.
I'd rather work for my money. I can't. I've never been the type of person that likes handouts. I always feel dirty. So.
Yeah, and I guess people here is talking about that. They go, like, I don't know why I just saw this in my switchboard. I said I had to play this.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, boy, I had put the full talk on there of the chick, Sweet Brown. I think that's one of my favorite people. And I said, man, you know, if somebody call here crazy again, I'm gonna put that up and just hang up on them. Sweet Brown.
Well,
Sweet Brown.
They were talking about marijuana.
Yeah, next time I get a call like that, I'm gonna sit up there and I'm gonna play that. Hold on, I got this call. Caller, you on the show?
Yeah, this is Chris.
Oh, how you doing, Chris?
Yeah, I want to know why so many people are hating on them niggas who close the pool.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yes, I had to play it. Somebody, I don't know who these idiots are that's calling, but it's like, hey, it's funny. You right, we ain't got no time for that.
Well...
Oh my God, it was funny. Cause then again, like last week, I was screening the calls last week because y'all was talking a lot. Okay, so in the midst, I was ducking out screening them. But I said I ain't gonna do it this week. Forget it. And Sweet Browns, that's anytime I play that, I'm kicking somebody off. Always remember that. Now, on Switchboard, I got the whole conversation on there, the whole thing. What she was talking about, it was a fire and all this other stuff. And, you know, she'll forget it. In the spirit of Sweet Brown, 21 seconds, that's all it is.
Well, I woke up to go get me a cold pop. But then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
I'm laughing at every time.
Yeah, that all sound like a modern day slave. I don't know what.
Hey, but you know what? You know why it's funny to me? Because I know some older sisters that talk like that. Like some real like talk. I know some older sisters that talk like that. Like for real. So when the first time I seen that, I cried laughing because I know some older sisters back home that talk just like her. And like, and I'm keeping it all the way 100. That's why I say I love older black people, love them, because they'll say some of the craziest things. They'll say things like that, and it's like, you know, it's like no telling what's gonna come out of their mouth. Yeah, it's like. Yeah, I'm gonna take some time one day. I'm gonna put a bunch of stuff up on my switchboard. I can just play around with. But yeah, that Yeah, I kick people off. Sweet Brown. Well, no, I'm not gonna kick them off. Sweet Brown will kick them off. Shoot, why not? Oh man, golly, that was funny. I just totally forgot about that. I had that on here. Now let me ask you another question. You're talking about like you almost getting to your goal on your weight loss and stuff like that. Like you're saying, people telling you like you need to gain weight. Who's mostly telling you that? Ladies or guys?
I mean, I'm getting compliments from guys, but oh, you look good. You know, you carry your weight well. You know, keep it up. You know, you look nice.
Uh-huh.
But from older ladies, especially the ones who got a little bit of gut, you know, those are the ones who are going.
I think, but why are they worried about? I never understood some old school chick hating on some younger one. I don't get that. I mean, it's like for real, like why do that?
Because they don't want you, because, you know, when they were younger, they had their chance to shine. Their time is over, and they don't know when it's time to go to the backstage and help the young ones out. Instead, they want to sit around and try to bring you down and be like, oh, you're a whore, you're a slut, you got all these boys calling you, you got all these men looking at you, you shouldn't dress that way, you should cover yourself up. You know, they'll be going around saying all kinds of stuff to you. Especially when they see that you're trying to get in shape. Now, I'm not trying to get to a little bit of skin and bones. That's not, to me, that's not attractive. But I still, you know, I like my shape, you know.
That's
but
nasty.
Women, you know, I don't think that being too bony will look good on me. But then when I'm starting to get, you know, I start to look better, I notice a lot of people will say things like, oh, you know, you need to eat more. Or why are you starving yourself? Why do you do this, why do you do that? And it's because they don't want to see you succeed. They don't want to see you happy. You know, they would hate to go to the beach and you over there walking around in your little string bikini looking cute, and they're over there with their little extra large T-shirt covering their swimsuit. They don't want to see that.
Yeah, but that's a personal problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Shoot. And so, you know, when they be up there telling you stuff, you know, hating on you, you know what I'm saying, and trying to entertain them. You know what you should tell them? You know what you should tell them?
What?
Yeah, I would tell them this.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I knew you were going
to
do that.
Hey, I had to. I'm sorry. I just got Sweet Brown in my mind. That's the word of the day. Ain't nobody got time for that. Somebody hating on you, ain't nobody got time for that. I wouldn't even entertain listening to them because ain't nobody got time for that. Everybody needs to get that on their phone. Sweet Brown. And somebody be sending you text messages hating on you, hating on your relationship, hating on your job, just send them to Sweet Brown. Elsie sent them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. See, I don't know, dudes hate, but they hate in different ways. Dudes don't care if you lose no weight. Yeah, they don't really care about that.
They'll care if you know, whoever's getting the most females or who has the most money and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a money thing. It's a you know, if it's a money thing, then guys, yeah, and more so if this guy's getting all his attention from women. Yeah, I noticed that. You know, I noticed that too.
Mhm.
Yeah, because it's like
they'll go behind their own friends and be trying to tell girls things and be like, "Oh man, you should mess with him. He no good. You should get with me. You should get with me."
And that's like the most like that's something like a female would be doing. You know what I'm saying? Like I've seen dudes do that sort of thing. They're like, you know, nah, you shouldn't talk to him, and because he got like. He always breaking chicks' hearts, or he always, you know, he'll fool with you for a few days, he'll cut you loose. I'm like, oh, you telling all this stuff on this other dude, dry snitching like a mug, man, on somebody else. I said, well, but the females never ask, okay, what do you do? Why? Because obviously he's going to come in there acting like, you know, he's so much better, and he like Captain Save a hoe or something. Oh, well, I'm better. I can do this, and I can do that. And like, man, you worse than a dude you hating on.
Okay, so I have a question then. So
okay.
Should a woman believe what a man says? If a man is, okay, let's say if these people are friends or whatever, and they see that this guy is interested, okay, let's just say it's two people, all right? There's the friend of the female, and then there's another guy that's trying to get at the woman. Should the woman listen to her friend that says, oh, he's no good, you know, he be getting all the girls, you know, he probably has three or four other women, you shouldn't be involved with him. Should she believe him?
It depends on how long you've been knowing the cat, too, because the reason why you can't believe, I'm reading this thing. No, they got somebody, that person keeps calling back, that's why I'm not answering it. But anyway, no, this is the deal. Like, it depends on how long you know them, like, and their intentions, too. Because some dudes do that on some, like, I'm hating because I'm trying to move him out of the way because I'm trying to get in. So I'm going to say something and try and throw salt in their game so I could be up in the game, you know what I'm saying, with the person. But, yeah, I'm used to some dudes be your friend because they just want to be at you. Like, that's a lot of dudes pull that.
I'm not stupid.
Yeah,
I mean,
a lot of dudes will pull that number, and a lot of, I don't know why females don't figure that out, but that's what a lot of them do.
Oh, I've
so,
already figured it out. I mean, I'm one of the people.
But
that
my
I
thing is this: it's like I like only like if I would not volunteer information if I was a dude, but if she but it, like say the chick was a friend and she was like, hey, you know, I met this dude, you know him, and what you think about him and stuff like that. And like I say, because you asked, I say, okay, I'm gonna tell you. But I wouldn't just walk up to her and be like, oh man, that dude this, that dude that, you know. And
okay.
Only thing I was, and we
so
was cool.
So if that's the case, if the woman asks, would it? If the woman says, all right, you know, do you know this person? Do you know about them?
Well, she and say, okay, you know, say, okay, you know about them, like or whatever. And only I would say like. Yeah, say if I really knew, I'd say, yeah, I've heard about, you know, dude or whatever like that. Or what have you heard? I said, well, you know, I heard this and that and the third. I said, that's the only thing I heard. And I said, and that's hearsay. Like I said, I don't know exactly what the dude do. I said, that's just what I have heard from, you know, just on the street. I mean, you investigate it yourself. That's how I do it. I said, I don't tell you what you need to do. I just tell you to investigate it. Because just what you hear is not always the truth. Unless you feel now if you physically seen, like, oh yeah, I know him. I seen him do this, and the third. You could tell her that, but you say, but look, I ain't telling you what to do. I say, that's on you. You do what you do. I mean, that's your choice. I say, but you ask my opinion, I'm gonna tell you because you asking. You know, I mean, but that's somebody, like I said, it's you know, looking out for you.
But then there's always that weird situation where it's the guy trying to get at you, and they try to use that friend avenue, you know. They try to say, oh, well, let me tell you that this guy isn't good for you so I can get in there and take his place. Because I think it just depends on the situation. That's just my take on it. And it's up to you to figure out, you know, for yourself what kind of person that is. And you'll know.
Yeah, you know, like I said, most people that, like I said, have asked me that question, I've always been cool with. And like I said, they asked me on the guise of, hey, what you think? I just want some advice on the situation. That's it. Because I think that's like foul to, you know, it's foul, okay, to try to get at somebody that's supposed to be your friend, you know, just because you really want to get at them. Why don't you just tell them from the beginning? You get what I'm saying? So, you know, I got to go ahead.
Guys don't do that. A lot of guys don't do that because they're, you know, they it's easier to try to get with a female if you use that friendship thing. If you try to, you know, if you try to establish a really strong friendship, then a lot of the times the woman will be more susceptible to your advances rather than if you're trying to come at her with that, you know, the little slick, smooth talk that all these other guys come at her with.
Now, let me answer a question that's very interesting in this chat room. They said, what's my opinion on a white person saying nigga, okay? My opinion on it, most people will know everybody's opinion on it. You say it in the wrong spot in front of the wrong brothers, you already know what's going to happen with that situation. Now, if you use the word in front of them, you make them comfortable to use it. So, like every song that's coming out got that word in it. I mean, and it, a lot of people, not just them, a lot of people saying it just second nature now because it's in the music. It's coming out. So it's like, how can you, my thing is, you can't get offended when you're using it in front of them, too. Because the way I grew up was, don't say it in front of, you know, you can say it in front of us, but don't say it in front of nobody else. Keep your mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? So that's just really, you know, how it is. I don't know who that person is. They got to go. Anyway, so, you know, back to what, you know, somebody asked, why is it okay for black folks to use it? Personally, it's really not okay for black people to use it, but they do use it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, they do. I mean, a lot of black people do. I mean, you're not going to really stop them from using it. They're saying it in a different way, even though it don't sound right. But the thing is, I've heard people say that, why is it okay for black people to use it, but nobody else to use it? My attitude is, why do you want to use it? When you know the history of that word. Everybody knows the history of that word, not just black folk. Everybody know. So, you know, that's always the question I throw back. Why do you want to use it? Because my thing is, I don't use racial slurs toward no other race of people. I don't call them no names. Nobody can never say, you heard me call you a name in any video on my radio show. If I say anything, it'd be, you know, something toward black folks. That'd probably be about it. But I'm black myself, so that's a little different. But, you know, like I said before, why do you want to use it if you're not a black person? Why do you feel that you want to be included with that word? You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel about it. You know, one person says because people want to be included in what they see as a special group. I mean, well, I guess, but, you know. A lot of black people heard, that was the last word they heard when they died, when they was hanging from a tree somewhere. Or they was tarred and feathered, beat up, you know, burned to death. All kind of things happen to black folks with that word. So black folks really shouldn't be using that word either. So, you know, I mean, personally, I don't use racial slurs to nobody. You know what I'm saying? I don't do it. Ain't nobody can tell me you heard me doing it, because it'd be a lie, and I say, show me the proof. Because I respect people. Your people got a name. What if their mama named them?
Mm-hmm.
So let's focus on that. Why don't we call people the names that they are given by their mothers? And that way you won't have these issues. Everybody want to be name calling like children. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is. But shoot, like I said, next week, I was thinking about next week. Well, you know, our topic is always so random. You notice that? Like, we could come up with something just out of the clear blue. I had got a message from a guy say, so, like, can you guys set your show up, like, in advance? Because I would love to know, like, when the next show and all this other stuff. And I tell a person, I said, you know, I, you know, would like to do that. But a lot of times,
I have that option, but...
It's hard. Well, for me, I actually, this is my thing. I have to always look at my schedule. Like, the past 2 weeks, I've been on call. So when I'm on call, it's kind of hard for me to set it up. But, like, I'm going to be on call again until the end of the month. So I can actually set up the next few weeks. You know, I can do that ahead of time with a plan, you know, what we're going to do for the show. Now, I don't know why I got this comment, but I'm going to oblige it. Do black people really like fried chicken as much as it's playing out on television? Let me ask you a question. I went to Popeyes. I see a bunch of white people eating chicken every day. And I always told people that. I said, I really need to bring my camera in there one time and put it up on YouTube and just with the title, White People Love Chicken Too. I mean, no, I'm serious. Because, like, I get so sick and tired of hearing that stuff about, like, black people and chicken. Like, black people the only one to eat chicken in America. Like, black people the only one to eat watermelon. I've seen everybody buy a watermelon. I've seen everybody have some fried chicken. And look, I be honest with you, if Popeyes, churches, KFC, or depending on black folks to keep their businesses alive, they'd have went down a long time ago. Because we ain't got money to be in the restaurants every day. Now somebody put in here, because I'm just having fun. They're talking about grape drink. Where that come from is black folk a lot of black folks struggle, and Kool-Aid was, you know, the thing that you can get that you can't afford no soda, but you sure can afford some Kool-Aid, and you just, what, 10 packs for a dollar or something like that, or 8 packs for a dollar? It's easy to make something that's flavored that you could drink. A lot of people tease, but they don't get where that comes from. That comes from people struggling. That don't come from people wanting to drink that stuff. They never wanted to drink that stuff. You know, I mean, a lot of black people struggle, and they have to do what they got to do. So if you see people eating certain things, it's not just black folks, it's like whoever. They're struggling. I mean, so let me see. Let me see who this call is. 248 coming in. Caller 248 area code, you're on the show. Caller 248 area code, you're on the show. Okay, they're not answering. Anyway. So, like I was saying before, you know, like, I grew up like that. I know how it is to eat government peanut butter and that government cheese that you got to slice, and you're trying to make some grilled cheese out of that. I know about syrup sandwiches where you take some bread and put some pancake syrup in the middle and eat that. I know about that sort of thing. I grew up like that. So when people run off at the mouth talking about black people with soda, a grape Kool-Aid, or red Kool-Aid, all kind of stuff, that's people that grew up struggling, and they didn't want to eat that crap. You think they didn't want to go eat some porterhouse steak somewhere and some shrimp? No, they had to do what they had to do to make it. That's why when brothers and sisters actually make it and grew up like that, that's why they enjoy themselves. Black folks don't eat no mayonnaise sandwich. No, we don't. Most black folks don't even eat no mayonnaise. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not being, you know, racial or nothing, but I see a lot of white people with that mayonnaise. Black folks don't eat no mayonnaise. Anyway, at least not where I come from, we didn't. But,
You can only put it on so many things, so.
Yeah, it's like, my thing is.
Like that.
No, my favorite thing is grilled cheese sandwiches. Love some grilled cheese sandwiches. Get you two slices of bread, put the dog on some of that Fleischmann's butter or that Country Crock, and that right there, well, like I said, if I'm making a comment, I'm sorry, like you're talking about, oh, that sounds racist. See, that I hate when people use that word, because, come on, let's be real. Black folks do certain things. Black folks eat certain foods. There's nothing wrong with that. Just like I've seen white people eat certain foods. Just like I've seen Mexicans eat certain foods. That's not racist. Being racist is saying my race is better and your race is trash and you're beneath me and everything else. That's being a racist. Not saying what people do in their culture. Nothing wrong with that. So people throw that word around a little bit too much. Anyway, so like I said, growing up, you know, you had to do what you had to do. You get what I'm saying? But I got this call. Oh, God, I got this call coming in one more time. Let's see. I'm going to try to answer it. Area code 248, you on the show. And I still don't hear anything. Area code 248, you on the show. Okay, I guess they're not answering. Anyway, so, you know, I mean, but that's growing up in the hood. That's actually growing up in the hood. Actually, when you're looking forward to food stamps coming in. You're looking forward to that day. I mean, one time this dude got in trouble at school, never forget that. And they say, I'm going to suspend you. He said, that's okay, you suspend me. He said, it keeps getting disconnected. Well, call back, man, because I got 6 minutes. It ain't going to be long. Okay, 248 UU. Call back, bro. Like I said, because you got 6 minutes. Anyways, one dude was like, go ahead and suspend me. My food stamp's coming in today. I'm going to eat. And we were laughing. Because, you know, on food stamp day, man, you're going to get everything. That's like, shoot, and then they came out, and they went from food stamps to the Lone Star card. You know what I mean? Here in Texas, that Lone Star card, shoot, man. But we needed that back in the day. Now it's like I work, you know, I work very hard, and I look at people who, see, we needed it. But they got people that don't need that junk at all, and they just lazy. They don't want to work, and I can't stand them. With a passion, I can't stand them. Because there's some people
that
really do
that.
Need it.
Like, I know plenty of people that will sit there and put their kids on their SSI plan and go and get a whole bunch of food stamps and be selling them and be sitting on their lazy.
Yeah, be selling food stamps. Oh, yeah, I know that's a game about food stamps. So, I mean, I'm selling food stamps, you know, like this. And how much money you need? I'll give you $100. I'll give you, like, you know, $200 food stamps for $100. And some of you are like, shoot, I'll take that deal. And then you go to the store with them to get $200 worth of food. You give them $100 on the way out. I mean, it's a hustle game with that food stamps. And dudes can't get food stamps talking about that. Be the females. Some of the females, man, that's why some of them had them babies sometimes, too. Because they know the more babies you have, the more system that, you know, you can benefit. That's why I don't like how America is. America reward females messing their life up. Dudes can't. If dudes don't take care of their kids, they go to jail. That's where they go. But females can't take care of their babies. They get free housing, free money, free food. They get all this sort of thing. But let you don't take care of your child, you're a man. Watch where you're going to be end up. County for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I pay child support. I pay child support, period. Okay? And if I don't pay my child support, and thank God I never been late on a child support payment. And I tell anybody, I pay $870 a month in child support. You get what I'm saying? But let me be late. Watch, they're going to be coming after me. Quick. That's why. No.
Well, and now, what makes stress me out about that system is that they don't penalize the women that are going around getting pregnant and living it up on food stamps. And I know there's a couple of stores, clothing shops, that actually accept EBT. So they over there get their little leopard print leggings. And
hold on a second, Ms. Gabrielle. Let's see. 248 area code. You on the show?
Hi. How's it going?
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you? I just wanted to say, like, I gotta deal with haters so much.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, you got about a minute, bro. So go ahead.
Sorry, I'm listening to the show at the same time, so I was a bit confused for a second. Okay, sorry about that. I got a little bit confused. So I got I live by Detroit, right? You know, the Motor City. And people there hate so much, like, all the time on me, because I'm white, you know. So they say I don't belong in Detroit, and it's real hard. It's real hard to live with them. So I figure you can help me out a little bit, you know. Maybe tell me something I might be able to say to them to get people to back off a little bit, you know.
Who are them?
No, because I got to deal with a lot of black people in Detroit, you know, and they say I'm not one of them, you know, because I'm white, because of the color of my skin, and it's just real hard, you know.
I don't know what to tell you. Shoot. And then I can tell you they got places that black folks can't go when they have that same problem. So I don't know what to tell you about that. You got to deal with it.
Yeah, I know that, man. I know that real well.
Nothing I can tell you. It's no magical thing. I can tell you to say, hey, say this, and they're going to go away. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I got you, man. It's real hard being transgender in Detroit, man. Don't even, so hard. Haters, so many haters.
I couldn't tell you anything about that.
Potted plants and shooting up marijuana.
What?
No, that's something else.
How do you even shoot up marijuana? Isn't it like a plant? Like,
it was a caller that said that like a one time.
That's a caller that keeps coming, like that's been calling in and playing around on the show, so.
How do you even melt that? That's just. Mm.
It was funny.
That's messing with me now. Like.
That was a funny
all right, well,
thing.
Thanks for the help, man.
Yeah, appreciate you calling. All right.
Okay. Bye. You're a nigger.
See, I knew he was playing. I knew he was on here playing.
It was funny.
He's a nigger.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you come to my show to listen to the whole. You sat there and listened to the whole show just to say that. Like, really? I mean, like, that's awesome. I love racists because you have nothing to do with yourself. You really don't. You love black folks. Just like we love black people and we can't stay away from them. We want to listen to all their shows, all their music. We want to be at everything they do. Like, that's the thing. Now, you're talking about undercover haters. That's them. They love black people. They really do. What a passion. They love black folks. So, anyway, well, we're going to wrap the show up and everything. But sure, I had a lot of fun on this one. I had a lot of fun, you know. Shout out to the racists. Shout out to them. Love y'all to death. We do on this show. Oh, boy. But anyway, you can catch me on the Advice Show TV, and you know, follow me on Twitter and Facebook and all that jazz. The link is in the show description at the Advice Show. And Ms. Gabriella, what do you have that you got going on and you want to share with everybody before we go?
Okay, I finally have my fan page up. So it is on Facebook, and it is GABRIELAXASARE. I know it's really hard to spell, but that's my Facebook fan page. And on the fan page, if you follow me on there, it's the link to everything that I'm involved with. So
okay.
You can follow me on there.
Okay, and what about the magazine? You were telling me about the magazine?
So, you can also, I'm actually going to be featured in the next issue of Gal VIP Magazine. It's on Facebook, and that one's actually easy to spell. It's just G-A-L VIP as a very important person, you know, and then it's MAG, M-A-G. So, all you have to do is like the page, and then when the issue comes out, you can actually download it on the computer, and you just and you'll be able to see me on there. So, you can
okay.
Something else involved with.
And everybody's listening, this is what's going to happen next show. Bottom line, I'm screening every call from now on. Because, like I say, it's funny to me, but if I was really having something extremely serious talk, and I'm looking for serious talk, like we was kind of having fun on this part of the show, it probably would have probably got on my nerves. So, every call from now on, I'm screening them. So if I can't screen your call, then sorry, you're not going to really call in. But, hey, it was fun. It was fun. I mean, I had fun. I'm sorry I got to do it one more time. Sorry.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Do it one more time. I don't know. I will sweep Brown out tonight. But anyway, y'all, thank y'all for joining us. You know, I had fun like always. And, you know, thank you, Ms. Gabriella, once again for joining us here and chatting it up. And, everyone have a great week.
All right. Bye, everybody.